Happy Sunday, everyone.
Love Talk Radio.
Jason Ophir. Oh, I forgot about that part. Such an amateur I am. I'm getting old. Hey, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm Jason Ophir here, as always, with Sherry Pang. We're going to talk about the world of the paranormal. We got an exciting guest lineup tonight. We're going to do an open forum. Sherry, how's it going?
Really good, Jason. I'm pretty good. I've just been home, and it's just been really nice. I've been really low-key, and it's awesome. It's good to be home for a while. I've got some things going next week, and, yeah, I'm going to be busy. So, yeah, I'm taking advantage of this low time right now.
Well, that's good. I'm busy as always, and unfortunately last week I wasn't able to connect, but you took care of it, the show, by yourself like a rock star. And I think I've worked out the technical
glitches. Well, thank you. At least, you know,
yeah.
I've been able to run the show, even though, you know, Karen, thank goodness with her, she's a personal friend of mine, and she's just wonderful. She's also a mentor of mine. She's been, I'm really proud of her. She has been voted, I don't know how many awards in animal communication. It's amazing, and she's doing good. So she just got back from her honeymoon, and it's all good. So, but we see that Cindy's online. So if you see somebody, another call in, have her call in. I see that she's checking her messages.
Oh, cool. And I wanted to add one thing. You know, when I set up these shows, I always look at our episodes to see how many people listen to them. And I want to say the show I missed, maybe it's because I wasn't there, exploded exponentially in listeners.
That's great.
Like,
wonderful.
I mean, beyond.
Well, you know, it was
beyond
interesting how, you know, with Cecil the Lion, how he was killed by poachers, and she was able to connect with them after a few weeks. And it was very memorable, and it was, you know, to be in Time Magazine, to be known as an animal communicator, it's an honor, and I'm really, you know, I'm really happy for her. So, yeah, it's good. But anyway, just want to introduce everybody. I've been trying to blast this through not only Facebook but from my personal page, and, you know, we've got some wonderful, beautiful, dynamic, and just, you know, talented ladies in the paranormal. We're kind of like a few and far between, but, you know, these ladies have been, I have a lot of respect for these. They're my friends, but also they know what their experiences they can share and with their knowledge, and I'm just really happy to pull everybody together. I hope Cindy's on too, and be able to share their experiences and share their knowledge to the listeners.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to, without any further ado, I'll bring everybody on. We got two people so far.
All right.
Hello.
Hey there. Hello.
Hey, Sherry.
Hello.
Hey, Jason.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Hi. Hey, so we're going to introduce one at a time. First of all, Maria Duff, she has been on our show in the past, and just really a lovely soul. And I'm going to have her just introduce, for people who have never heard of her, just going to introduce who she is and what she's in part of the paranormal, and we'll just go from there, and then we'll introduce Nikki.
Well, my name is Maria. And I'm with Night Stalkers Paranormal. We are out of Bowling Green, Kentucky, and Tennessee, in that area. I'm the case manager for Night Stalkers. I'm also the state section director for the Bowling Green area in Kentucky for MUFON. And I know a lot of people don't know what MUFON stands for, so that is the Mutual UFO Network. My bio is really long, but I don't really have a whole lot to say about that. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy helping people, and it's just been a great, great road to be on in the paranormal.
That's wonderful. Wow. And we have a new person that's live on air tonight, and she's going to make her debut. I'm sure we're going to have her in future episodes, but her name is Nikki Groom. So we're going to introduce Nikki.
Well, hello, everyone. Well, I don't know how I can possibly call it, but one through the paranormal world and UFO world, and I'd like to check the time to help them.
It's kind of breaking. Are we having trouble hearing you, Sherry?
Yeah.
Yes, I am. Nikki, are you having problems hearing this?
Yeah, I'm having trouble hearing Maria, just cutting out all the time.
Oh, wow, that's weird. Huh. I don't know.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't able to hear you, to be honest with you. How about you, Maria? Can you hear her?
She was breaking up on my end as well.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We'll work through it. So I guess we're just going to do an open forum and talk about just anything paranormal. I guess we don't really have a lot of structure to this, but we can just start anywhere. Aliens, UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, whatever.
Right. And you know what? And just for people who didn't hear Nikki at all, but she's an experiencer. For those who don't know what an experiencer is that she's had some experiences with UFO abductions. And her mission is to help those on the other side, and help those on this side to understand that it's, you know, you're not alone, and that she's helping people, you know, with their experiences, that, you know, they're not alone, and they're able to, you know, be able to go and help them see beyond the veil as to be able to help them, you know, with their experiences and traumas and things like that. So, and Nikki has had paranormal experiences ever since she was very little. So she can probably share those experiences with us too.
I would love to hear that. You know, Sherry, I always gravitate towards UFOs. So I'd love to hear some.
I know
of your
you, and I would. One of yourself.
Seen a lot of strange things. So I guess
okay.
We can, you know, we'll try and keep it organized. We, you know, with two guests. Once we get more, if we get more people in, it might be a little scattered, but we'll try and just go one at a time and ask questions. So I guess, you know, let's start off with Nikki. Let's delve into the world of UFO experiences. I'd love to hear some of the stories.
Well, I guess it started when I was very young. Actually, the memories are just flooding back as you know, I'm older, but a lot of memories coming in about missing time. And actually, funnily enough, my friend, one of my best friends, who I've been friends with since kindergarten, we came over for a visit to the USA, and we got talking about UFOs. It's a taboo subject with my friends, but it told me about one incident where there was a craft hovering over my house where I used to live in Royal England. But she was said, you know, she was told never to talk about it. It was an interesting conversation, actually, but it stems from where I would wake up outside of the house, below, actually dressed. It was very interesting. On different ones, like your rooms would have a lot of stuff like that. Can you hear waking up?
Yeah, it's still kind of breaking up. I heard you waking up outside and there was a craft over your house. That sounds kind of terrifying. So it wasn't just like sleepwalking? I mean, was there like other dreams or things? Have you ever had any physical sightings of any of the beings?
Well, I've actually, well, more than anything, the orbs, blue orbs. It's a common, you know, it's a common see, which certainly, I mean, he would see the blue orbs. And as I've been told to him, an experience back, and I think as you spoke, what memories do come back. It's very interesting. You know, people block this stuff, yeah, which is bad. It happens.
It's still kind of breaking up. Maybe try. Can you try calling back?
No.
Maybe it would be a better connection.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, try that. Maybe that'll help. Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
Technology is always a hassle. Like, I've been having my own issues with it, so.
I know it can be so convenient sometimes, and then sometimes it's just a bear to get through or, you know, trying to communicate with other people.
Yeah.
Well, that's the wonderful world of paranormal.
Were you thinking the same thing too? No.
I really do. And especially we're trying to talk about her experience with UFO sightings and her everything that she's starting to remember.
Well, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if the government's like sending some energy beams to scramble cellular waves or something, because we've heard of that before.
Yes, that happens quite often. Unfortunately, the government doesn't tend to certain areas of the government. I can't say the whole thing because not all of them understand in their separate little departments of what the real big picture is. And, you know, with our people are more hearing the words deep state and dark government now that we have the president that we do. Trump's really talking about the deep state, and he's really trying to break it up. And if it goes as far as the aliens and UFOs experiences that everybody has, we'll see. I doubt that ever happens, because there's people controlling that whole situation that are way bigger than him.
So, Maria, why is it that you think that they're, you know, such a top secret? Why can't they share the information? What is such a top secret that they have to hide or keep people's mouths shut, or, you know, do things that are may not be of the right thing? You know, I mean, like whether they're picking people out or causing problems with people's lives or interference or yada, yada, yada. What do you think it is?
I mean, it could be something as simple as maybe they know, our government, know something that through ET contact that they don't want the general public to know. And it could be that maybe they're afraid that we're going to know something that they don't. And I guess it kind of, if they've made, you know, they've made contact with aliens, we hear all of those stories. So it's probably that they just don't want the general population to know what they know, because then that way they can keep us more under control.
Maybe the truth is scary.
So we
do have another caller from a different number. I don't know if maybe Nikki called on landline or something, but let's take a look.
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, there you go.
Yay, you're back.
Is that better?
Sounds better so far.
Okay, Nikki, say something.
Oh, good.
Are there
any? No, no. You know, it's
cutting in and out.
You know, religion, too.
Heard the part about religion, and yes, she's right. That has a lot to play in it too.
Still cutting out really bad.
Maria, I'm glad you were able to make that out. I wasn't able to.
I wasn't
doing this on purposely. This is crazy.
The government does not want us to talk about aliens this evening.
Apparently not. Maybe Nikki could just talk about the high strangeness that happens around her. Maybe if we just talk about ghosts and paranormal stuff, they'll let her talk.
Okay, let's talk about ghosts instead and see if that helps.
I think it probably would.
No,
wow.
They're not
going to
let her talk about that either.
It's almost
gotten
worse.
Are you close to the Wi-Fi connection? Are you close to that, or are you away in a building or anything like that? That might.
I am actually in a
keep the.
I'm in a very bad Wi-Fi. I thought you. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Were you able to hear that, guys?
No.
Can you not hear me?
I did then, perfectly.
Okay,
yeah.
I heard that. Move. No,
I
don't
know.
Don't move, Nikki.
I'm going to try another phone. Hello?
Okay.
Oh, there,
all right.
There she was, perfectly.
Perfect,
I know, it's
right
so weird.
There, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes, and I don't know about you guys, but sometimes if you're in a building, you know, if you're in a building, sometimes the concrete, you have bad reception and you can't, it fades in and out. But I don't know. I'm just making that assumption. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, you know, Sherry, you know of my cellular cell phone problems. You know, I live in a basement, so I can't call here. And I work in a basement. So literally, I'm unreachable except for 1 hour out of the entire day. So, yes, being in weird places does have, you know, consequences to reception.
Right. Well, would love to hear about a story. So that hopefully
I know,
be
me
able
too.
To... Yes. So, Maria, so, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of things that the government probably doesn't want us to know. And, you know, it's just, it's sad. It really is.
About with the religion too. I mean, and it all goes back to everything that you're taught when you're brought up. That's why a lot of people don't believe in ghosts, because they've always been told they don't exist, or everybody, when they die, they go straight to heaven and things like that. You know, it's just, it's confusing, especially when you experience something paranormal that happens to yourself, and then it just, you have to rethink and go back, okay, did I just see that? And then your mind tries to tell you, no, it was playing tricks on you. Things that happen to you aren't paranormal. And it just, you have to rework your belief system after you experience something like that. I mean, if you're brought up taught that UFOs don't exist, and you see one land in your backyard, or like in Nikki's case, it's hovering over the top of your house, you know, how do you justify that if you've always been taught things like this doesn't exist? It just really confuses people.
Yeah, it's like me, I have to see it to believe it. I'm skeptical of Bigfoot because I haven't seen one, but you better bet if I'm camping in the middle of nowhere and I see a Bigfoot, I'm going to believe, you know. But I've seen a lot of weird UFO-related things, so that's why I always gravitate towards the subject. I find it really fascinating.
It is very fascinating. I mean, I come outside to watch the stars and stuff. I spend a lot of time outside now. I have before, but literally when I come home from work or whatever, I'm sitting outside until it's time for me to go to bed. And you see a lot of flashing lights in the sky. They're airplanes. The most wonderful one that I love to watch go over is the International Space Station. And it makes me wonder how many people see that and pay attention to it. Because we don't really pay attention to the skies anymore. We're all inside watching TV, or we're looking down at our phones.
That's exactly true. People don't look up as much as we used to. So I think Nikki's back. We're hopefully third time's a charm here.
Can you hear me better,
Nikki,
on this line, guys? Hi, Doug.
Oh,
can you hear me
really
better?
Oh, that sounds really good.
Wow.
Okay.
I can hear you.
I'm using Eric's phone.
Oh, well, I don't know why that phone works. And yours doesn't.
I don't know.
Yeah, because the government doesn't have the number.
I think it's the crappy T-Mobile service, to be honest.
Yay.
Yeah,
okay.
That would do it. Yep.
All right.
Right.
Well, let's rewind a few minutes here and get back to Nikki and talk about her experiences. She was talking about waking up outside and stuff like that. So I'll give you the floor, Nikki. We'd love to hear about it.
Stems from when I was very young. You know, the most vivid one I had, I think I was about 5 years old. It was a blowing up in my room. And I've always seen ghosts, I just thought it was, you know, paranormal stuff. But in a blink of an eye, you know, I lost like 4 hours.
And to a child at that age, you don't know what's going on. It's crazy. But as I got older, you know, more and more things started happening, light in the sky. And this is one very interesting case. I was sat at my sister's house, who lived just down the street. There were three of us in the room. The window was open because it was the summer in England. I know we don't get much summer, but we got a few days of summer. And a blue light just came streaming through the window. And it was like instant, everybody froze except me. It was the strangest thing because I could see what was going on and they were just frozen. It was just a blue light. I think I was a teenager at that time. I'm sorry if I'm rambling, I'm a little nervous. but there's just so many other things because I lived in the country and I would follow, now I remember I would follow the white lights down to the meadow, the blue lights down to the meadow. It was just crazy. And, you know, the craft above my house. But it was taboo, you know. People would say, don't see anything. But as I was saying before, a little more eloquently before, I'm sorry, my childhood friend came to visit me in the here in the USA from England. And we got talking about paranormal and UFOs. And she says, I remember the night when there was a huge UFO above your house. But everybody was telling me not to say anything. But so many things. There's just so many things. I'm sorry, I'm rambling.
when you saw the lights that you were following, did you ever have a sense of fear? Did you feel like whatever it was that was causing the lights was suppressing fear? Because I think I've heard that before, where people are in, when they're having UFO encounters, the aliens or whatever, they suppress, you know, natural emotions such as fear and terror and stuff like that. I don't know, Maria, if that's a real thing, if you've heard of that, but they can kind of turn off our primal instincts and kind of draw us to do what they want us to do.
I think, strangely enough, go ahead, Maria.
No, you're fine. I was agreeing with Jason. I mean, it's like you can't fight against it. It's like they completely take over everything.
Yeah, it does. The fear is depressed. Definitely. Yeah, I have to agree with that.
What was the craft of your house? What was it? What did that look like?
Well, I don't remember seeing it. That's a suppressed memory. But my friend did say it was a saucer like craft. And it was not the only time it was seen above my house. You know, she said it was a dull silver. That's all she remembers, to be honest. Yeah. But it's funny enough, I've actually seen several of those while living in Las Vegas. Now, when Eric came to live with me, the activity just exploded. Absolutely exploded. We would see watches in the sky, a craft just coming over, you know, no noise, no anything. Just really, it really ramped up while we were there.
Crazy. Were you able to get it on camera, Nikki?
Actually, I always hit record. When my phone camera would work, funnily enough, but my big Canon camera, it would always shut down with brand new batteries in. But yeah, I have several things on film. Yeah.
Wow. When you get a chance, share it on our paranormal page. That would be wonderful. Listeners and our viewers on the page, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, pretty interesting for sure.
So it reminds me of, I guess I can share a little bit too. I don't talk about it a whole lot, but I've seen a lot of strange things. And when you were talking about the UFO over the house, it reminded me of an event that happened. About 20 years ago, I used to live on a double-wide trailer on a one-strip airport runway. But it was one of those things. It didn't have a tower, didn't have transponders, anything like that. It was basically kind of like for ultralights and stuff like that on private property. It just happened to be a paved runway. And there were so many strange things going on out there. And there was one night a craft, I assume, me and my friend had pulled in at night at 10, 11 o'clock at night. And as I got out of the car, I looked up and it was cloudy, and there's this light hovering in the clouds over our trailer. And then as soon as I'm registering it, looking at it, it shoots off. And what it reminded me of was when a spotlight hits the clouds, you know. But this is rural. There's no spotlights or anything. It was right above the house. And so what happened was so we go in there. The front door was unlocked, which was really odd. And we had a bunch of parrots at the time, and the animals were acting all weird. And so I walked in, and you walked in, and it felt like, I don't know if anybody here's experienced walking in and feeling a presence, like the air was thick.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it was kind of like that. And so I thought, you know, still nothing was registering in my head. And I thought that maybe there was somebody that broke into the house. So I'm looking around. There's nobody in the trailer. So then I just kind of forget about it. I walk into my room. I take off my shoes. I start to walk back out, and I step on something. And I'm like, oh, what's this? There's a huge lump in the carpet. And that wasn't there before. It's like rock hard. And it's right where you walk. And my roommate comes in. She cuts open the lump because we're like so intrigued, like where did this come from? She sticks her hand in the lump and something pokes her. And it's the strangest metallic object. It's so hard to describe. I can't describe it visually. But anyways, and then after that whole thing happened, there was a bunch of other stuff that happened along with it. I would have to talk about it in my whole show. I don't want to steal the show. But anyways, it kind of reminded me of that. And it was just, yeah. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of strange things like that hovering in the house. That's the only time I've ever seen anything hovering over a house. There was another incident where something had been on the same level as a house going by one of the windows. But, yeah, there's a whole lot more to this whole story. I'll have to talk about it sometime. But that just popped into my head.
Wow.
Yes, Jason, we need a whole full story.
It's got everything from government following at high strangeness, and you know, again, it was 20 years ago, and I'll have to tell you all more about it sometime. But but one of the things I wanted to talk about, and Maria, you mentioned it earlier, was high strangeness, which I think is one of the most interesting things in regards to the UFO phenomenon. And I don't want to be the one that defines high strangeness, so either of you, Maria, or whoever, can define that. But I'd like to talk about that a little bit because I think it's really intriguing with the experiences.
Well, on the investigation side of it, of course, I'm not an experiencer, and I have seen UFOs, but I've never had any further knowledge or experience than that, than just watching them go across the sky. But some of the investigations, paranormal investigations that people have called us about, it sounds like a haunting. So we get there and we're investigating, and there's a whole lot more going on than that. And it's then when you get to asking more questions of the client, you're asking, have you seen a UFO? Do you have any? And then, of course, a lot of the times the answer is yes. This is what's happened to me. But I don't remember anything past this. So then that's where all the high strangeness comes in. And it seems like it ramps up a lot of paranormal activity in someone's home and around them.
Wow.
So high strangeness is just kind of a blanket term for just a whole host of strange occurrences, which could be anything from the government doing weird things outside on your telephone pole to just more paranormal activity. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, it can be, you know, you can walk by a lamp and the light bulb blows. You know, it's something that happens. So, and a lot of people will take that as a poltergeist or something crazy bad spiritually, ghost, or haunting, or however you want to classify that. That's what they think's happening, and that's not actually what's going on. They've been visited, and they just don't remember. It's a suppressed memory a lot of times. And like Nikki said, this is stuff that she's just starting to remember, and that happened to her years and years ago.
So it could happen in any age group. I mean, it could be all the way from maybe 1-year-old all the way up to 20. Is that correct, Maria?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
I mean, anybody, if they can come to you over and over and over again and you never remember any of it until one day, it all floods back. And there may be some people remember any of it, but they know that their whole life, weird things have been happening all around them, and they just don't understand what it is.
Most definitely. Absolutely.
So, like with me, in my conscious memory anyway, I've never had I don't feel like I'm an experiencer. Maybe I am, but I don't remember any of those things, but I have had paranormal experiences ever since I was 3-4 years old. Maybe as far as that, maybe even more so. So, you know, it's, I just don't know, you know. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's a debate, too, sometimes, that there's a lot of people that I know are gifted, like you, Sherry. You have a wonderful gift. There's another lady that I work with sometimes and I'm very good friends with, and her name is Angel Lee. She is a very gifted person. But now she sometimes goes further than having missing time. She will disappear in the middle of wherever they are for 15, 20 minutes or so. And nobody can find her, but she doesn't, when they do find her, she doesn't realize that she had been gone.
So traveling kind of thing?
I don't know. To her, she just stopped at a restaurant and walked in to use the restroom before they ordered her food. And then the next thing she knows, they're telling her family or is telling her that she's been missing for 15 minutes.
Oh, that's weird.
That's strange. Has that ever happened to you, Nikki?
I can honestly say once, I believe. I know this is crazy. I was sat on my couch. I blinked my eyes, and 2 hours were gone. What bothered me the most, that didn't bother me, because I've always had, you know, high strain and said everything was tiny. The thing that bothered me the most is my children were there by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What were they doing for the 2 hours that I, you know, the missing time, and, you know, I wasn't asleep? But I have actually, I've a question for Maria. Dealing with the UFOs, Maria, have you ever come across a UFO in a pill? It looks like a pill shape, probably about 3 feet tall, metallic, rotating. Have you ever had anybody say anything about that?
I've not dealt with anybody personally that's had that,
yeah.
But there are a lot of reports that are on the MUFON part of it,
okay.
Of people seeing that.
Okay,
wow.
That happened to me in 1992. It was just floating across the sky, and as soon as it got about 20 feet above my head, it stopped. And it was just rotating, and, you know, you could see everything around it reflecting off it. It was very strange. Stayed for, like, I would say 10 minutes, and then it just glided off. Now, the most interesting part here is I was talking to my neighbor at the time, and we were all looking at it. And, you know, saying, what the heck is that? And as soon as it was gone, you know, I continued to talk to them about it, and they had no recollection of this. That's the kicker right there. They had no recollection in like a split second. They didn't know what I was talking about. Very strange. Mm. That was one of the strangest ones.
That was one
of the strangest ones for me. Yeah. Yeah, that was 1992. Yeah, in England.
So we do have another caller. I don't know if it's somebody with a question or another guest, so I'm going to bring them on right now.
Yay.
Hey, who's
Hello,
this?
Hello, welcome to Paranormal Horizons.
Yeah. See, normally,
who's this?
Oh, my goodness. So you just...
Hello?
Exactly.
All right, I just muted it. Maybe it's just a listener. So...
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, so this pill was, it was only 3 feet tall?
It looked to be about only three feet tall. So I'm thinking, gosh, it must be a really small alien. You know how he's being when you're younger. Well, I did anyway, but it was like, gosh, that must be a really small alien. Yeah, it was a pill shape. It was smooth. There were absolutely no lines, anything. It was completely smooth. And it was just rotating, no sound, anything. It was incredible. Yeah.
There's reports of seeing those coming from a larger UFO. I wouldn't really call it a mothership, but that they would come from there. And there's also been reports of those are the reasons why there are crop circles.
Oh, right, yeah. There are lots of them from where I'm from, yeah. This is common.
Yes, so I don't know, I mean, if they're part of, especially with them having the ability to, where you could see it, Nikki, that the people around you had no recollection of it.
But they watched it. That was a strange thing. They were watching it with me. And as soon as I turned around, you know, to have questions, they were like, what are you talking about? I was like, okay, one of those.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me with that whatever intelligence was behind that has the ability to selectively wipe out people's memories.
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise
me
one bit.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Nikki's probably one of them that doesn't have that veil. Never has since she was little, and they can't pull that over her eyes anymore. So she can see it all now.
Or it's designed that way. It's only meant for her to remember. You know, maybe it's some part of some sort of awakening process.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, and there's people that would love to experience the things that UFOs and have that alien contact, but I don't know. People don't understand. That's not something that they really want to wish for. That's
right.
Yeah, well,
because your life changes forever.
Yeah, most people I would say if they get really, you know, like you're saying, wishing for that, but, you know, opening that at a door, you don't shut it down after that happens, right?
I agree with that. I think we do that a lot, you know, with paranormal, too, as children. I know me and my twin sister, we played with ours, you know, but I think we blocked a lot out, you know, regarding the paranormal. But, it was fun sometimes. Well, you know, it was fun knowing who was going to be at the door, who was going to call on the phone, and things like that. I mean, that part was fun. But, the other part, you know, actually seeing spirits, walking through your bedroom, standing at the bedroom door. You know, it's so funny. I did grow up in a very haunted house in England, in Yorkshire. And we had an old gentleman who was an old miner who died in the house. And he would, every night, he would stomp up the stairs and he would open the bathroom door, wash the toilet, and then he would come sit on my bed. And he would say, "Bah, it's cold." And he would do this all the time. And to us, that was normal, you know. To me and my twin sister, it was just a normal thing. You know, we would always see spirits here and there. And, it was normal. But we were outcasted for it, you know. Don't go to the spooky twin's house. I gotta share it.
That would terrify me if some old dude's flushing the toilet and sitting on my bed. I'd be out of there.
But no, he used to flush the toilet. I kid you not, he used to flush the toilet.
And like you said, you know, you were told you can't talk about that. You know, you have to. It's because other people can't understand what you're going through. Right.
No, absolutely not.
They don't want other people to think their children are weird or mentally crazy, so they slowly shut their children down.
Yeah, absolutely right. But we found it, you know, it was normal to us, to me and my twin sister. And actually for most of my family, it was just a normal occurrence for us, you know, being spirit every night, to be honest, yeah. Crazy world.
Are you getting back more of your ability, where you can see the spirits and things, Nikki?
I actually, you know, keep it closed down a lot because, unfortunately, my son, my 11-year-old son, can see spirits very vividly. But he, you know, nonchalantly will say, "Oh, Mom, I just saw the boy again. I just saw the lady in the wedding dress." And, but I don't. I don't say, you know, don't say anything about that. I don't shut him down or anything. I actually encourage it because I would have liked that too, as you know, growing up as a child. But I think I may have suppressed it a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, just a little bit. Do you see that?
Keeps everybody comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me just interject. I'm hearing some really loud sounds upstairs, and nobody's supposed to be here. I'll be right back.
Oh, wonderful. Welcome to the trio Ghostbusters. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but Jason feels like he's not alone inside his basement. And there's an area where he's kind of creeped out a little bit. So that's part of why he's checking it out. But, you know, we are always among, if we open that door, we're always among the other side. It's just whether we want to let them in or not.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Poor Jason. Bless his heart.
Oh,
and it doesn't
goodness.
Help much that we're telling ghost stories and then he's there.
Right.
So, yeah, that'll creep you out, too.
Well, just, you know, it was last week. It was all of a sudden I had somebody on my stairs. I have a three-story house, and, you know, on my third level where the loft is, creaking. The stairs kind of creak. And I was, like, between 7 and 7:30 in the morning, and it's just about that time where I was not totally asleep but not totally awake, just kind of in between.
Yeah.
Hear this creaking like somebody's standing by the store and by the stairs, and it's like creak, you know, creak, and it's like they're either rocking on that particular step or they're going up on the step really slow. And my dog, he's standing by the edge of the bed like wondering what's going on, and it stopped, and then it creaked again like somebody's really slowly trying to walk up the stairs. And then all of a sudden, within a couple seconds, I hear my Canon printer go off like it's like when you turn the printer on. You know how the gears start running and warming up like that? That's what happened, and I thought, okay, it's one of those.
Oh,
so you get used.
I always got to where I unplugged my printer because it would do some kind of weird click off on thing. Like in the middle of the night, and I was just like, "Nah, I'll just unplug it, and that'll solve the problem." I don't want to hear that in the middle of the night.
Yeah, they like the massive electronics.
You never know who's passing through, right?
I guess somebody needed a
really
coffee.
Is. I had one when my mother was in the hospital and she was dying of lung cancer. And when I got the news, I'm an only child. And when I got the news that she was in California in the Bay Area, that she was, you know, literally dying in lung cancer and waiting for me to come down to see her before she, you know, crossed over, it was weird. I had a recording that I bought like the day before. And when I heard the news, it had like something was going on. You're talking about not being able to stop it. I had one of those answer machines, and my husband can contest to this, that, you know, after we got the news, the answer machine would kick in by itself and would fast-forward itself, stop, rewind itself, stop, fast-forward itself, and we end up unplugging it. It kept on going at itself. It was weird. I've never had that experience before, but it was kept on going, fast-forward itself, stop, rewind itself. It was strange, but I wasn't scared. I already knew, you know, there was ghost or no telling it was my mother, so... Yeah.
Wow.
It happened. Okay, is Jason back?
I am back. I did not get murdered. It was just an unexpected arrival of a roommate. There's no ghosts, no aliens. It's all everything's 100% normal over here.
And see, you debunked it. That's the greatest thing. You got up and you checked it out.
Well, my instinct was
to
turn off the light.
Too again. As a paranormal investigator, can you share with our listeners anything that have you run across any demonic forces, or are they just a lot of people just say, oh, I got something going on, I need you to come in, and you go in and check it out, and a lot of times it's just what do you call a dog and pony show? It's just a false alarm. Can you share that with us?
Most of the times, whenever, because I do the initial interview over the telephone, and sometimes they can say, there's a lot of things. The first thing they always say is, I'm not crazy. And, you know, it's like, well, let's finish the interview before I decide that. But they'll have just simple little things going on that they're not really alarmed by, but they know that this isn't supposed to be happening in their home. We've gotten to some places that were haunted. I mean, they had activity in their home, but we never went back, because when you walk into the middle of a meth lab, it's like, okay, we're not coming back here. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was
so
it haunted?
That's
was the meth lab? Well, was the meth lab haunted? Yes or no?
I won't call it haunted, but I would say that they had some activity going on into a certain area of that home. But you're not going to stay and investigate, and that's something you need to get out of.
That's dangerous.
That's part of it. Yes, very, very much so. And that's a lot of stuff that people don't realize. This is a dangerous field, and it's not just what can happen to you spiritually, emotionally, mentally. It's physically.
Yeah.
I mean, you can walk into somebody that's, running a meth lab.
Yeah. Hey, Maria, what kind of protection, if any, do you before you go into that kind of situation, or any situation regarding the paranormal? Do you have, like, a protection that you use, crystals, anything like that?
I kind of actually, it depends on the type of situation, depending on this person, whoever I interview, and the things that they tell me depends on what I do to prepare myself. I don't have a specific ritual or one certain prayer. It just depends on the situation, because when I pray, I talk to God and I talk and ask for that type of protection, and that's pretty comforting. And then plus, you pray for that family too.
Absolutely,
to keep them protected. Because it is confusing. I mean, like with little small children, that's one of the things. If somebody calls and says something is messing with their children, we're there as fast as we can get there.
Oh gosh, yes, absolutely.
And that's why
I've heard
children involved. Wow, that could be pretty horrific.
That's like what Nikki was talking about. She had missing time, and you're thinking, like she said, it wasn't a big deal to her, but what were her children doing?
Yeah, for the 2 hours.
That's frightening.
That's very frightening indeed, But they were fine.
I wish I could have missing time when I'm at work. That would be amazing.
Oh. Yeah, sorry, honey.
Damn it.
I can say honestly, I don't think I can remember having missing time. I really don't. Not that I'm aware of. I'm not saying it hasn't, but I'm not aware of it anyway. So how about you, Jason? Have you had that experience of missing time?
Only once, and it was an extremely strange experience that I can share if you want.
Go for it.
Okay, so this is all back 20 years ago when all this weird stuff was happening. Me and my roommate were driving back up through California, We had just entered into Oregon, and as we were driving down the freeway, we're like, oh, we need to get some gas and cigarettes. I smoked at the time, or we both did. And so as we're driving down the freeway, there's a sign at an exit that says, I think it was Chevron or something. The sign said, Chevron, 3/4 mile down this way. So we're like, okay, let's fuel up, let's get cigarettes. So we pull off the freeway, and the Chevron station's right there. None of this clicked at this point. So we pulled into the station, and there was one attendant there. It was late at night, and he was an old dude, and he was acting super nice and super creepy, nice, weird. There's something off about the guy. And as I was standing there, I noticed a red car with two people in it, and they were staring at me, and I was looking at them like, why are these people staring at me? This is so weird. So we do what we need to do. We get our gas. We start to pull away from the gas station, and we stopped before we left the gas station, like, oh, we should check the oil. So we got out of the car. The attendant was still there, and his attitude had totally changed. It changed from creepy nice to creepy surprised that we had done that. And still not thinking much of it at the time, we did what we needed to do, and we pulled away, and we left. And an hour had passed when we had pulled off for, less than 10 minutes. But that's not the weird part about it. So as me and my roommate are talking about it in the car, I mentioned, what was up with those two people in that red sports car? And she was like, there was no red sports car there. She said that I was wondering how this old guy got to work, because she noted that there was no car there. And I mean, yes, there was a car. It was right there. And so our memories differed. So we were so weirded out by the whole thing. We felt disorientated the entire trip back. The entire trip was off by about an hour. So we called down to this exit that we pulled off at, and there's no gas station there. The gas station is what the sign at the freeway exit said. It's 3/4 mile. This gas station was right off the exit. So then I made a couple trips down there, and there's no gas station. It doesn't exist. So is the only time that
Twilight
I can say.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah, Twilight Zone.
Wow, that's crazy.
You know, that something like that happened to me and a friend, actually. We were on a road trip, and we stopped up through this really weird village. It looked like it was out of place, out of the, I would say it was 1950s, 40s, 50s. Everybody, was dressed differently, and we didn't think anything of it at the time. We just thought, it's probably one of those places where they dress up and, do little, like news. When you go to, it's a small village in England where they dress up for that time period. For instance, like Victorian.
Like those Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, something like that. And I remember we were going somewhere, and we stopped there anyway. We stopped there just for a little bit, so we thought nothing of it, carried on with our journey. And on the way back, we thought, well, let's stop in again. We won't need drinks and stuff, because it was kind of interesting. It wasn't there. So yeah, that does happen.
Yeah.
And I've heard a few people with similar stories. It's quite bizarre. I think it's a time thing. I'm sure it's time loop or something. I don't know. It's very strange. Yeah, but that's interesting.
It was super weird. Like, we were totally weirded out by it. But the only other time I had heard of something similar was when we had Clyde Lewis, who hosts the national radio show Ground Zero. And he had a similar experience as well, that was kind of not with a gas station, as I recall. I think it was with a diner or something like that. So those kind of things do happen. I don't know if it's like a glitch in the Matrix kind of thing, or what, if it's aliens or what. But it was definitely interesting.
I just think y'all are weird.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Is it different or weird?
A parallel universe or something, I don't know. Strange.
I think that each one of us have our own experience, and I think it's really great because of, in a way that it opens our eyes, we become hopefully more spiritually evolved, and we can help those that are, that are learning or are curious and open that door. I think that's a really good thing. I find you know, being my, you know, my mother was a very spiritual person, and my father was, and they were not religious in any sort of mean. They were spiritual but not religious. But, you know, I look back and I say, gosh, I'm so glad that you have taught me the things you have, because even though I may be different or weird by so many people's standards, it's normal for me. It's normal for me to be able, when I open that door, to communicate to the other side. It's normal for me to be able to see cognizancy, knowing that, you know, things that happen before they do. So I think with you girls are the same thing. It's a gift. It's something that is bestowed and is takes responsibility, and being able to share that with others to, you know, allow just making things better for other people.
Absolutely.
You know, you're talking about that weird vibe that you had, Jason, with all the crazy, creepy stuff that's going on. A lot of people get that same feeling with their if they ever have an interaction with black-eyed children. They just kind of appear out of nowhere. And sometimes they'll even come to your door and knock on the door, and you're looking at these kids that are dressed in a time period that isn't of this age, and they always want to come in, and it's like, well, where are your parents? And they're just like, well, let us in, you know, and it's, no. You get a really weird fight or flight feeling like that.
Have you guys had that children or adults?
Yeah. I've never had it. There's been a lot of reports of people that do, but and then there's the question there, is that a demonic type thing, or is that extraterrestrial, or a lot of people don't know what line that crosses.
I've been always highly skeptical of it. You know, you can go online and spend $100 to get the black sclera lenses like in the movies. I've always wondered if it has, you know, it's just people messing with people. I at one point a long time ago did some research that the black eyed children thing didn't become popular until, I don't remember, there was a book that came out that it's like the first time that it had been brought up. So I'm skeptical of it. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but if I see one, I'll believe it.
Yeah. If you don't let them in your vehicle. I mean, they've been seen, like, if you're in a convenience store. I mean, you can pull up to a convenience store and nobody be around, and you're getting gas, and then all of a sudden you see, and it can be 2 o'clock in the morning, and you'll see two children standing there, and they're wanting a ride. But the people that are working inside the store don't see them, and there's not another vehicle around. And then whenever you're ready to get into your, you know, you're telling them no, and you go to get into your vehicle, and you turn around and look, and they're gone. So, and no, you didn't see them leave, but that it's just creepy.
Giving kids rides in your car, black-eyed children or not, is a very bad idea.
Yeah, exactly.
In today's age,
I feel that it exists. I don't think that people would imagine. I mean, our minds can only are so much. They're only limited to what we can comprehend and what we're taught. So, I think that just because we may not personally experience them doesn't mean that they don't exist.
Right. And it's like Nikki was talking about. She sat here and watched this wonderful thing happen around her, and other people were watching it, but yet they don't even knew they didn't even realize what they were seeing nor remember it.
Absolutely. But that would creep me out, the black-eyed kids. I'm sorry, you can give me a ghost, you can give me an alien, I don't care, but don't give me a black-eyed children.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
White adult, right?
So now, Sherry, did you want to? We're at the bottom of the hour. Did you want to go a little bit longer?
Sure, we have. Yeah, and if you want, anybody wants to call in and have any questions for Nikki or I or Jason or Maria, you can call in at 1-215-383-3999. Anybody can call in at 215-383-3999. So you can call in if you want to share your experience, have any questions for any of us, and we'd be happy to open the lines up.
So I have the show scheduled for another half an hour so we can keep talking aliens, which I love. Now, Nikki, have you seen any of these alien beings? And if so, what do they look like? Are they like the standard grays that people report? Or
I've never had a face-to-face, not that I'm aware of. I mean, the only thing I can – no, it wasn't really a face-to-face. What I had – I have memories of babies. I have vivid memories of little babies that don't look, well, they look part human, part not, with really straggly hair and like almond-shaped eyes, but, you know, mostly human-looking. But no, I've never had a face-to-face. I mean, I don't think I would like to be honest.
Have you ever undergone any kind of hypnosis to kind of get any regressed memories out or anything?
That is my biggest fear. My biggest fear is regression, and I know I have to do it at some point, just like I'm wanting Eric to do the same thing, but I know it'll bring up a lot of trauma. I know there's something there, and it honestly scares me, the thought of doing that.
So can I ask you, Nikki, now that you know you're an experiencer and also you're in a relationship with an experiencer, is it different, would you say? I would say, can you share your experience? Is it a little bit more, you have more, what do you call post-traumatic syndrome disorder with a person? Or what is it like to be with an experiencer?
There's good and there's bad. I mean, Eric suffers dreadfully with PTSD, especially at night. You know, the memories... they come, oh, gosh, it's terrible. He has terrible nightmares. But he's also been through a lot of trauma regarding, you know, the ET doing, which I'm not going to go into at this point because his case is not out yet. But when that is out, we will be able to talk about that more. But, yeah, he does suffer. That's all I can say about that, honestly. I mean, you know, guys, you've had him on your show and, that he does suffer terribly. But we do, since I've been with him, with Eric, we've had a lot more sightings, I will say that. We've been spotlighted regular by, like, helicopters. So, yeah, I know they're following him and they have great interest in him, which is sad because, you know, it's traumatic for him. But, yeah. That's
so
a good
like
bad.
In the limelight.
He's in the limelight. He definitely is in the limelight.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Not the good limelight. I don't think I'd want to be followed by helicopters or anything like that.
It's not a good limelight.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they have to torment. I mean, it's bad enough what they've went through, but they have to just keep after them and torment the fire out of them. And
That's horrible.
Yeah, to keep them quiet, basically, yeah. But it's a huge case. As you know, Maria, it's a huge case. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I have a question. Have you guys have any experience with reptilians?
I personally haven't, not that I'm aware of. I mean, I do believe that they are around, definitely.
They taste like chicken, Cherry.
I bet they do.
Oh, you mean like alligators?
Yeah, they taste like chicken.
I've had alligator and pizza, and it was a little bit different. I would say it tasted bad.
Funny.
How about you, Jason?
No, I haven't. You know, nothing strange. Thankfully, nothing strange has happened in decades, so... but when things were weird, I don't remember seeing any kind of reptilian things. I never had like a conscious face-to-face visit from an ET or anything. It was all kind of not terribly exciting. Now, I had dreams and stuff, which made me wonder if something was going on, but I can't decide if they're dreams or not. That, you know, it could be dreams. Who knows, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, guys, I have a question for all of you, actually. Do you think the ET and the paranormal go hand in hand?
Oh, definitely.
I made the comment
that whenever you and Eric moved in together, that the activity really ramped up.
Yeah. But funnily enough, Maria, my haunting side actually went down, which is very strange. Because I've been absolutely tormented by this old guy from the it's from the 1900s. Oh, he'd like to touch me, touch my legs and things like that. But when Eric moved in, that dropped way down. Do you remember, Sherry, when you were talking to Eric that day, you saw that thing behind him that looked like an octopus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I told Eric about that, you know, maybe 4 weeks before you actually saw that. So that confirmed it for me, because I'd seen it so often. It's just like, it just looks like a huge black octopus with, you know, flailing arms. But yeah, you confirmed that for me. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Yeah, that came out with the reading. Yes, definitely. I remember that.
Yeah.
I can say this. I notice most of the time I'm aware, but I don't open that door with a psychic or mediumship unless I have to. But there are times where it's just like my radar, it's like the hair stand in the middle of my back, whether it could be just even on a local level, government level, or just walking in the store. And I just sense that these people are just not quite there, you know. It's kind of like they're not normal. And I almost get a sense that they are reptilian, but I don't say anything, but I do keep my distance.
Wow.
Seriously. So that's why I was asking you, have you guys ever felt that way? Because it just doesn't feel right. They're just, and I wouldn't say alien. That's not the description I would say. It's almost like they have a job to do and they have no remorse. They're, almost like psychotic almost. They have no remorse. They have no emotions and they're just there. It's part of their physicality is formed, but the other part is their spirit. I don't know if Maria or Nikki or any of you can understand, but the other part of them, it feels like they're reptilian. I don't know. It's just a feeling you get.
You can definitely feel when a person has no empathy. I definitely can feel that.
Definitely.
You just feel like backing way back.
Is there anything around me, Sherry?
Is there anything around you? Well.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know if I want to go and display that.
I think now you have a couple of
attachments. Yeah.
Good attachments or bad ones?
You have a couple of parasites, but I don't know. Yeah. You know, we'll see how that goes. That's a different story in itself, so.
Yeah, but, trying to open up the good door there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I need a good door open.
Well, you know, trying to keep our vibration high, and this is what I've noticed is that, I don't know with you girls or you, Jason, if you try and keep be very mindful of who you hang around with, who you interact with, and, you know, people with low vibration is going to bring you down, you know, and that's how I feel. They're the ones that have sometimes attachments and they have parasites on them, or it could be something more devastating. But I think that if we can raise our vibration and just keep mindful of it as much as possible, you know, you're not going to be harmed by it. So, just take precaution and just keep yourself protected and be mindful of not only your thoughts but the company you keep. So that's the only thing I can suggest.
Absolutely.
That's why I love living in the country. I'm away from people, and if I want to deal with them, I'll deal with them because I want to, unless it is business. But, I try. The older I'm getting, the more reclusive I'm becoming.
Right. There's definitely entities out there that do feed off that negative energy. Oh, my goodness. And you can feel those people. My goodness. You can feel those people just sucking your energy out of you. Do any of you get that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And that's toxic, you know. So what we can do is just separate ourselves and
wish them well. You can love them from a distance, but don't have that, you know, have that in your energy field, because if they're drowning and you're trying to float, they're going to drag you down.
Absolutely.
There's so much negativity out there. Unbelievable.
Right.
It's ramping up.
That's
it's ramping up, yeah.
And they're doing it on purpose. I mean, the news is filled with it constantly. And I found myself not even, I don't watch the news. I don't want to hear all of that because it's an agenda anyways that they're trying to push out there. But negative people, if you can, I mean, they're always miserable. They're never happy. It's always poor me. You know, you've got to separate yourself from people like that, or otherwise, like you said, they'll suck the energy out of you and they will bring you down with them.
Absolutely. You know, and
totally
sometimes
agree.
You can just speak your piece and say what you feel and then cut it off. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's just not only on a personal level, but also on a professional level. So it doesn't matter. And especially if it's induced by drugs, you know, if they are addicted to drugs or alcohol, that even makes it worse. Because you open yourself up to those beings that can penetrate inside your auric field, and sometimes they can step in, and you wonder why some people are not themselves when they're intoxicated or they're on drugs and pills or whatever, is because on a metaphysical level, these beings are waiting to take havoc and take over the body, the soul body.
Yes, that is correct. And that's why they always, you hear a lot of talk about not to have any kind of alcoholic beverage or anything like that before you go on an investigation, because you're walking into something that you don't know what's there. And if you're leaving yourself open, then they can come in, and it's easier for them to come in than it is for you to get rid of them.
Oh, yes.
And that will destroy your life and everybody's life around you.
It can affect you, I mean, terribly. I mean, it could affect your moods. It could affect your financial, your relationships. It can affect all kinds of things.
Yes. I've just noticed
It's
out there. Just the negativity is just so rampant out there. I mean, I wish the consciousness would change. I don't see it getting better. I think we're on a downhill slope to just more negativity.
Well, and that's where everybody else comes in that's aware of this, what's happening. That's why you have to keep yourself up and don't let that negativity get into you. Don't let it get next to you. And if you find yourself feeling that or sliding down, that's when you need to snap yourself out of it and just walk away or whatever you need to do, and just pray or meditate or both, or just bring yourself back to where you're supposed to be and you feel good about you, and you can't really worry about everybody and everything that's around you. You have to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, yes.
Absolutely.
Good advice.
Yes, very well said.
So, Sherry, what do you see around Jason?
I know, you got everybody curious.
Oh, she's going to go there.
What do I feel about Jason? Oh, my God.
I can take it.
You can take it, huh, Jason?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Jason, you're very okay, let's see what's going on. So you, Jason, you are very lonely. You really want, part of you is split, you know. Part of you wants company, but part of you wants solitude. And you find yourself to keep yourself busy a lot. I mean, just whether you're playing on the computer or you're playing games, it's a way for you to pass your time so that you don't think about how lonely you are, okay? And also with health challenges, they're better. I think that having you
being able to keep yourself busy. It does. You're not so focused on your health problems as much as you used to be. I really feel that you really seek companionship. But the thing is that with you, you need to discern what's good companionship and what's bad companionship. Okay. And that will help you whether you're going to grow or you're going to sink. Does that make sense, Jason?
Yeah, and I just want to add that if there's any single ladies out there, send me a message on Facebook.
What's your last name this week, Jason?
So yeah. I think you'll be okay. It's just you got to be really discerning. That's a very good way. I mean, I've known you for, 2.5 years? I've been on radio for a little over 2.5 years, and what little I know of you, you tend to be very depressed, and not to say that you have a lot of things that could go wrong and things like that, but I think that if you could, switch that gear instead of finding ways that what could go wrong, finding the things that you can appreciate and keep it in mind all the time, things that you really have, you know, like whether it's your job, whether I'm glad I have a house, just keeping something simple like that, just being grateful and thankful for those things, I think that will help you instead of saying, I don't have, instead of concentrating on lacking, concentrating on the things that you're thankful for. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm thankful for tacos and cats.
Tacos and cats, huh?
Yeah, two things that I absolutely love. God, I'm looking for a cat sound effect. I know I have one in here. Oh, here we go.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I mean, that's accurate. I'm lonely. That's true. Lonely.
And you know, I tell people, you know, if you're really looking for a mate, be that person. Be the mate that you want, somebody that, you know, would look, you know, be loyal, be the things, the good qualities, and write it down. Everything starts with the thought. The thought is all energy. When you have thought, you put it down on paper. You look at it, and you're already manifesting it as you're thinking about it. Putting it down is kind of like solidifying what your thought patterns are. And you say, and you could be very careful because you want to say, if I want a mate, write down your non-negotiables. What are the things that you're non-negotiable? You would not negotiate, whether it's drinking, whether it's smoking, whether it's, you know, gambling or porn or whatever. And then you can go into another list. And what I suggest for people is go on the flexible list. You know, spiritual, fit, healthy, sense of humor, loyal. You know, those kind of things, those things that you think you can be flexible, but be careful, be very careful what you ask for, because you will get what you ask. So if you miss monogamous as an example, you're going to get somebody who's not monogamous. So you want to be very careful what you write down and your thoughts in manifesting it. Okay?
That sounds good. Like good advice, and I totally believe in thoughts are things, and we manifest our own reality. I'm totally, totally behind that. So, very cool. Thank you for the little reading. We'll join all the dating sites now. And again, the ladies, you can contact me on Facebook.
Well, I know some single ones, but I don't know if the age has anything to do with it.
I'm 44.
You better specify that, Jason.
My age and under would be great. You know, 30 to 44, something like that would be ideal. Who knows? Maybe we can make a love connection.
About this really quickly, I've noticed that I'm like Maria. I don't listen to the TV with all the bad things. I don't have TV for a reason. I haven't had it for almost 10 years. But you see all these people committing suicide, and this is quite interesting. There, it seems like we're not aware of it, or it seems like a big upsurge. What's going on? What do you think is your thoughts on this, girls and Jason?
personally, I think it's a vibrational frequency that the powers that be, you know, send out and keep us all controlled, keep us all down, you know, feeling desperate. I honestly think they really do. They know what they're doing.
I was surprised to hear about Anthony Bourdain. I thought he had the perfect life, but I guess, you know, maybe he suffered from depression or something.
I totally think he was taken out. I really do. That's my
feeling. Yeah, I do too. I agree with you on that. He, that man was taken out.
Yeah.
Why would somebody take him out, though? What?
The things he was saying, especially regarding the president, Dick Cheney. Yeah, just my opinion.
That wouldn't surprise
me. Also, there's also a lot of ties. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of ties that he had to things that these people knew as well, like what the Clintons are involved in and stuff like that. And he couldn't stand that woman. And
he went down the rabbit hole.
Right. That's exactly right. And they took him out.
Yep. Yep. Wow. I've seen it a lot. Yeah, I've seen it a lot in Hollywood, actually. Yeah, I've seen it a lot. Young actors and actresses, totally taken out. It's sad, but true. People will scoff at that, you know, but I totally believe it.
I'm sure it happens. I mean, some of the stuff we hear about that our government's done in the 40s and 50s, which is absolutely atrocious. You could only imagine the sort of things they're doing nowadays that we don't hear about.
Right. On a grander scale, I would say, yeah.
And a lot of people.
Go ahead.
A lot of people aren't afraid to speak out anymore. Where used to, you could shut people up.
Right.
The military would just show up at your house and shut you up. And now people are screaming about that from the rooftops, and they don't take chances with that anymore.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Well, it makes you wonder, with the high strangeness of experiencers being followed by black helicopters. I mean, if that was me and happened to me, I would be completely paranoid that at some point the government's going to go from surveilling me to deciding, you know, this person's got to go, you know. That would always be
right
in the back of my head.
Right. And, you know, it doesn't even matter anymore whether you're high profile or not. You know, if they want to take you out, they're going to do it.
You're right. And it doesn't doesn't matter whether you're high profile or not. You know too much, or they don't. Yeah, they want to suppress you. They'll take you out.
Right. That will.
I've wondered about talking about the subjects that we do. If somebody somewhere's listening, you know, at the CIA or NSA or somewhere, and then, you know, they're like,
scary. I have no doubt about that. I mean, every time Eric talks, you know, with his investigator, it's always cut off, every time, every single time.
Wow.
They just shut you down.
Well, we have a few minutes left, so I guess we can kind of wrap it up. And now, Maria, maybe if you can share your webpage or Facebook for Night Stalkers, or if anybody wants to contact you and has any questions.
Sure. You can find us on Facebook. It's Night Stalkers Paranormal Research. My Facebook page is under Maria Wilson Duff. And Night Stalkers has Twitter account, and we have Instagram too. We're really bad about keeping up a lot of stuff because we stay so busy with other things, so we don't post a whole lot. But when we do, like the page or whatever, you'll see what we're into.
Very good. Yeah. How about you, Nikki? Is there anybody, if anybody wants to contact you, are you available or?
Oh, you can just catch me on Facebook, Nikki Jewell, J-U-L-E. That's me.
Very cool. Well, I want to thank you both for spending the time with us this evening and talking about one of my favorite subjects mostly. And thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much
for
having me. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yay, that's wonderful.
Yay.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Well, we missed Cindy. Like I said earlier, Cindy's granddaughter, she had some maybe some complications. I'm assuming that, but she had some problems. Her daughter, her granddaughter, I think, is only, what, 4 or 5 years old, and she's diabetic, so she had to run her to the doctor. So we wish her well. Hope everything works okay. It wasn't as bad as it was. Probably it is when you have to go to the hospital. But we miss Cindy, and we just, like I said, our thoughts are with her and her family. And, we'll just pray for her. But in the meantime, next week we're going to have a new guest. His name is Dylan Scherzek, I believe. And he's going to start talking about raising his consciousness. He's going to make suggestions on how we can raise our consciousness and just be evolved emotionally and spiritually and mentally as a human being. So we're going to have him for an hour next week. And that's pretty much about it. So, and then the next following week, we're going to have Paranormal Night Stalker. That is a team that I just joined. It's through British Columbia. And I'm their paranormal consultant. Very dynamic team. These guys are just, they've been in the paranormal business just for a long time. And I'm really proud to know them, Michael and Joel. And I just really, I can't appraise them highly enough. They're really good guys and very humble. So that's 2 weeks from now.
Very cool. Well, I guess with that, we'll wrap it up, and we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. And I want to thank our guests for taking the time to talk with us this evening. And we'll see everybody next Sunday. Unless you have anything else, Sherry, we'll close her out.
Hey, we'll just close her out. Hey, thank you, everybody, for listening to us. As we can archive our page, and it's awesome to have you guys support us. And thank you very much for just being there and supporting us and listening to us. We appreciate it. Take care.
Good night, everyone.